I want to speak to you for just a few moments here from the Word of God as well, and close out our time. I'm reading from 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in the place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." Say the presence of God. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went to lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose, and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call you. I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lie down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." I want to just talk for a few moments from the thought, "Answer the call. It's Jesus." Answer the call. It's Jesus. When you read this passage of Scripture, when you know the background of the Scripture, you recognize that Samuel was a special child from birth. His mother Hannah, who was barren for many years, had cried out, and cried out so much so that Eli, seeing her, thought she was drunk. Only for God to answer her prayer and give her a son. And she promised that, "If you bless me with a child, if you bless me with a son, I will dedicate him to you." And that child was Samuel. At a very young age, we see that God is reaching out to Samuel. But Samuel doesn't recognize his voice. He just doesn't know who it is. He thinks it's Eli. But Eli, knowing the voice of God, even though he wasn't obeying the voice of God, was able to say to Samuel, "The next time you hear it, this is how you respond." "Thy servant hears. Speak, Lord." And in that moment, everything for Samuel shifted. I want to encourage us around the season that we find ourselves in and all the things that are going on. And I believe that even as Marcia's word came forth, that this word ties in. Because for many of you under the sound of my voice, you're about to get a call. And when you get the call, you need to know it's Jesus. You need to know it's Jesus that's calling. It's amazing how we have our smartphones, and most of us have the smartphones, and we can take our phones and we look at our phones. And before there was the smartphones, there was caller ID. So, you know, in your house, you know, there was usually a name that would come up and you would see it and you would know whether you want to answer the phone or not, kind of thing. Number come up that you don't know what it is, so you don't answer that call at all. And our smartphones now give us that type of convenience. It gives us that kind of ability to look at it. A call comes in, you look at it. And you decide whether you want to take the call or you don't want to take the call. You got time to take the call. You need to take the call. Or you see a name you recognize. This is a call that I really, really, really need to take. But have you ever wondered that if you just one day your phone rang and you looked at it and it said Jesus? And I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody named some Spanish person, Mexican person named Jesus. I'm talking about you look at your phone and it says Jesus. Would you answer it? Most of us would probably answer it and say, who's this? And the person says, it's Jesus. No, really, who is this? Don't play. Hang up. Phone ring again. You look at it. It says Jesus again. You answer the phone and you say, hey, come on, quit playing. Who is this? It's me. It's Jesus. You just hang up the phone. Phone rings again. This time, the name is Jesus, but it's in all caps. With an exclamation point. And behind that it says, don't hang up on me. That puts it in a whole other place. And the thing that I want to challenge us around is, when the call comes, answer the call. When the call comes, answer the call. Even though Samuel didn't know who it was, he had enough sense to at least go find out, thinking he thought it was Eli. I want to say to all of us, we are living in a season. We are living in a time. And I'm not just talking about heirs. I'm talking about many of you under the sound of my voice. You've been going from here and there and looking and waiting and desiring that place in God, that assignment in God. I'm telling you, the call is coming. Answer the call. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But when the call comes, there's certain things that all of us need to be clear on about receiving the call and responding to the call. As I spent time just kind of reading through various passages of Scripture, and I thought about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Esther and David and Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary and the 12 disciples and then Paul and then back to Peter and then to Timothy. All of them have something in common. They answered the call. They answered the call. And for many of us, we can spend a whole portion of our lives having not really answered the call. And we wonder why things don't seem to line up. And we never have a sense of fulfillment on the inside. Answer the call. It's Jesus. Now, we all know that in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't know Jesus. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. But they knew God, or they had some inkling, if you will. There was some sense about them. So when God comes to Abram, who's not Abraham yet, Abram has to make a decision. He's not recognizing, or he comes into a place of recognizing, you are responding to God. Eli was saying to Samuel, you need to know, next time you hear that voice, you are responding to God. Answer the call. It's Jesus. Abraham answered the call. Isaac answered the call. His call came in Gerar. When he was just about to adjust his life to go back to something much simpler. Because how many of you know, sometimes you can be going about life and the phone just rings. And it shifts things in your world. Anybody ever get any of those kind of shift-changing calls? That changes the trajectory of your life? That's what salvation did for all of us. Answer the call. It's Jesus. The call came to Isaac. Stay here. Stay with me. Stay with me. The call came to Jacob. You're going to go away, but then you're going to come back to this place. And even in the midst of Jacob's fear of his brother Esau, he still headed back to the place where he had found God. Recognizing or not recognizing until a certain time in his journey that God had already straightened out the situation. See, some of us see who's calling and choose not to answer the call, but you don't know it's Jesus. And what I mean by that, you don't know that that person you don't want to talk to, God's already worked that thing out. It's Jesus saying, you need to get this call. Answer the call. It's Jesus. None of us live in a perfect world and none of us live in perfect families. So we all have all kinds of dynamics going on. And sometimes, you know, you see that call from a relative that you don't really want to take that call. Come on now. Okay, this is, okay, y'all may stay with the scriptures in the Bible. Okay, so Joseph, you know, you get that call, that daughter, that son. You wanted to go to voicemail, see what they want, if they're going to leave voicemail. If I don't get voicemail, I usually don't call people back. I prefer that they leave a message. But you can't send Jesus to voicemail. You need to answer the call. It's Jesus. Joseph answered the call even after all the things that happened in his life. Esther answered the call. David answered the call. Zechariah answered the call. Elizabeth, she answered the call. Joseph answered the call. Mary answered the call. The disciples, each one of them, answered the invitation, the call. Paul answered the call. And with each one of them, I want to give you 5 points or 5 words that come into play with the call. That come into play with the call. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying to us is a play on words, so to speak, because I'm talking about the call and the call on the inside of you. I'm talking about the call and the call on the inside of you. The call and the call on the inside of you. Because at some point in your life, if you've got a call here, you're going to hear a call here. You're going to hear a call here. There's going to be stirring on you that says, come over here, come here. That's what happened for Paul. Paul in his journey, and Paul is determined to preach the gospel. This is what it says in Acts 16. It says, and he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra in Iconium. But it says, Paul wanted this man to go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Come on, say wisdom. Come on, say wisdom. It says, now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which they had been decided upon by the disciples and the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. They're going from church to church now, sharing how to be the church. That's what they're doing. They've gotten instruction from the apostles. You go into these areas, you meet with these believers, and you tell them, this is how we live this out. This is what they're doing. It says, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go down to Bethania, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, says they came down to Troas. Listen to this now. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Can I say this to help you understand this? God knows who's ready and who's not. God knows who's ready and who's not. And this is a wonderful passage that shows their well-meaning in their approach, but the Holy Ghost keeps bringing some correction to get them to a place so that they can respond positively to the call that they're about to get. Answer the call. It's Jesus. Can I tell you this? Sometimes the call that comes isn't necessarily the call that you want. But if it's Jesus, you need to take that call anyway. If it's the Holy Ghost, you need to take that call anyway. If it's God moving and working in your life, you want to take that call anyway. Is this helping anybody? It's helping me. I just want to let you all know. There's five words that I want to give you that come along with this dynamic that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Esther and David and Zechariah and Elijah and Joseph and Mary, the disciples, Paul, Peter, Timothy, all of them had to walk out. They had to navigate through these five words that I'm giving you that come with the call. First of all, I want to tell you this. Oftentimes, with the call comes inconvenience. With the call comes inconvenience. It doesn't fit in the time frame of what I'm doing right now. It doesn't fit in my schedule. This doesn't fit with my plan. It's inconvenient. Paul already had mapped out, I'm getting Timothy, and we're going to go and help these churches. But the Holy Ghost is forbidding them from landing in certain places. And in a dream, he sees a man that says, come here. And they know that's where we're supposed to be. But that was not the plan. With the call comes inconvenience. Oftentimes, it's inconvenient. You have in your mind with the way you think it's going to go, not recognizing, hear me, sometimes God positions you in a place for an appointed time. And one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to get you anxious so that you're out of place and miss your appointed time. Everything in me says heirs is in its moment of appointed time. That's why the struggle is as challenging as it is. And one of the things that can happen is when you're navigating through this place and you get the call and it's inconvenient for you, you have to grapple with what you're going to do with it. Esther was set in place for an appointed time. You do recognize that, yes, God was blessing her and God set her in a place of prominence as queen and she's enjoying life. But all of this was providential because the day would come when she was going to get a call. She was going to get a call. And sometimes if you're not recognizing that the space you're in really isn't about you, it's about something that's about to show up. And you will understand it when the call comes. Paul understood when the call came. I'm saying to some of you on that job that you just wish God would get you off of, just hold on just a little bit longer. I want to speak to some of you that say, this is what I believe God wants to do, but it doesn't seem to be happening. Just hold on just a little while longer. God's going to show you something. He's going to call you up. Oh, he's going to call you up. And when he calls you, answer the call. It's Jesus. The second thing that's often in this makeup of the call when it comes is that often it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable. It's unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine that you could get that kind of call. See, here's what I've come to understand, Sean, that for many of us, I believe in purpose. I believe in destiny. But you can only prepare yourself so much for it. Because when the call comes, there has to be some element of not being ready. There has to be some sense of this is a whole lot bigger than what I thought it was going to be. You can go to school, you can get the degree. I'm talking about calling now in God, but it doesn't necessarily qualify you. It may present to you information and knowledge for you to be able to extrapolate and use at some point in your journey. But I have found when a call comes from God, it is inconceivable. It is somewhere where I never quite thought this would be what he meant when he said, what he meant when he said, see, that's a dynamic right there. What he meant when he said, not what you think he meant by what he said, but what he meant when he said, when he called. Because also very often the thing that trips most of us up is you've got in your mind the way you think it went, the way you heard it. And we all know that you get 10 people in the room and say something, and 10 people gonna hear it 10 different ways. God forbid you say something that's offensive unintentionally, because folk hear it differently. When the call comes, oftentimes it's inconvenient. Secondly, it's inconceivable. There is absolutely no way that Zechariah would have ever thought that God was going to do what he did for him and Elizabeth. Unbelievable. Hard to imagine. That's why he made the mistake of saying something. That's why sometimes when you get the call, just say, yes, Lord. Whatever it is, I'm just going to say, yeah, before you start talking, I'm just saying yes right now. Whatever it is, I'm just saying, now I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say yes right now by faith, because I know whatever you're going to say, I can trust you with it. Whatever you're going to say, it's not going to be me getting it done. It's going to be you getting it done through me. And if you say it to me before, I may back up on saying yes, but I'm going to say just when the call comes in, yes, Lord. Answer the call. It's Jesus. Answer the call. It's Jesus. Zechariah struggled with the call. The angel comes and shares with him. Oh, how's that supposed to happen? Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. It's going to happen. And you're not getting in the way. So what you just said will be the last thing you say until John is here. Answer the call. It's Jesus. See, Eli had to help Samuel recognize this is a higher voice of authority that's speaking to you right now. I know it may sound a little bit, or you think it's me, but this is a whole nother level of authority that's speaking right now. See, cuz can call you. Mama can call you. Daddy can call you. Brother can call you. Sister can call you. Uncle, auntie, they can call you. But then there's a call that's a higher order than every call and any call that you could ever get. Answer the call. It's Jesus. The third thing that I want to say to you that's a dynamic is that when the call comes, it's incomprehensible. Incomprehensible, meaning that it's hard to even understand it. You see, inconceivable means it's hard just to believe it. I just never even imagined it. That's what it means, inconceivable. But then it's incomprehensible, meaning that once it comes to you, once the call comes to you, now it's hard to understand. It's like it's impossible to wrap your mind around it. And how many of you know, or let me put it to you this way, one of the things that can hinder us, any of us, in pursuit of God and the things of God in our life, is that when the call comes, we're trying to wrap our mind around it. We're trying to wrap our immediate world. How is this to fit into my paycheck now? How is this to fit into my experiences now? How is this to fit into when I went through this? How is this to fit in all of this that has transpired? Our mind can go there. And the sad thing about it, if you're not careful, you disqualify yourself and hang up the phone. I just like using this analogy of the phone because it's working. Incomprehensible. Hard to understand. It's impossible to understand it. Why? Because what's been ingrained in me up to this point is fighting against that which you're saying to me now. It's fighting against that which I'm seeing now. It's fighting against that which I'm hearing now. You see, that's what happened to Peter. That's what happened to Peter in Acts. After God using him on the day of Pentecost and over 3,000 coming to the church, but Peter is the same guy that God is going to use to now bring salvation to the Gentiles. Because here's what I want you to understand as well, and I'm almost done. I really am trying to go as fast as I can. But this has been stirring in me all day yesterday about this call. Because when God calls you, more than likely it's because somewhere else somebody has called him. When God, can he call you when someone else has called him? Meaning, can you be the answer? Can you be the one? I got just the daughter for this. I got just the son for this. Hold on, help is on the way. Cornelius, a devout man, giving alms, a praying man, giving tithes, ministering to the poor, is crying out to God. And the scripture makes it clear that his prayers have reached heaven. So Cornelius, who was calling God, God says, I got a guy just crazy enough to leave his environment. See, because it's going to take someone who he wrestled with it, but it's going to take someone who was just crazy enough to go anyway. Because you see, then the Jews had nothing to do with the Gentiles. But what Peter has to work through is that place of it being incomprehensible. Hard to understand. It's impossible to understand. But God recognizing that sometimes you're not going to hear it. You're not going to answer the call the first time. He'll call you a little later. See, Peter, stay with me. Peter was the one that got the call that said, Jesus. Who is this? It's Jesus. No, hung it up. But he calls him back again with a second dream. Who is this? Jesus. No, quit playing. Hangs it up. Third time, Jesus in caps. You better not hang it up this time. Three times. Sometimes you don't get it the first call. Sometimes I don't get it the first call. Because if we are not walking in the way that God has purposed, hear me now, we will hang up because it's inconvenient. We will hang up because it's inconceivable. We will hang up because it's incomprehensible. But the Word of God says that Peter, after the third dream, recognized it was God. And it says while Peter was kind of mulling it over, it's So hear me when I tell you this. Sometimes when the call comes, you don't have time to mull it over. It's like right now. There are some things that we don't have the time to mull over. It's right now. It says, while he's thinking about it, the men are downstairs knocking on the gate, knocking on the door. Because what God is responding to is a call he got from Cornelius. And he says, I know a guy that can handle this. And he calls Peter. Now my question to you is, can he call you? Can he call you? And you answer. And you say yes. I'm almost done. I just have two more points left. The fourth thing that often we navigate through with this is that when the call comes and we're trying to make sense and often trying to make sense to others, it's indescribable. It's indescribable. You just don't have the words for it. You just don't have the words for it. And so I want to tell you that as part of this place of answering the call, it's Jesus. You got to recognize that often God is calling us out of obscurity to fulfill his plan. And when he's doing that, oftentimes there are those who will want to understand, well, what really did he say? It's indescribable. There are no words to describe this thing. You're just going to have to watch it unfold. Do you know, there's some things I believe that if God chose to describe it to us, we'd be all messed up. We'd be all mind all gone. Because our mind couldn't fathom it, couldn't handle it. All of these dynamics came into play for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Esther, David, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, the disciples, Paul, for Peter. And this last word I want to give you is this. Often when the call comes, it's indefensible. It's indefensible. What do I mean by that? It's indefensible. Incapable of being justified or defended. It's indefensible. Think about this. Mary would have lost her mind trying to defend being the mother of Jesus. Because it was indefensible. No one who thought they were in their right mind was going to believe she got pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Well, somewhere in it. And hear me concerning you. Because often in what God has called us to, Raymond, we want to make sense of it so we don't look foolish in the eyes of others so we can explain it to them. But sometimes it's indefensible. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just walking this out by faith. And as it unfolds and when it unfolds, we'll get it all together.
Amen.
We'll see it all unfold together. Most of us don't like to live in that space ever. We just don't. But it's indefensible. At some point, Mary had to get okay with, I will not be able to explain this. And you know what? When I got the call, he didn't require me to be able to explain this. He didn't say, now this is what's going to happen, and this is what you need to be able to say to all of those who are going to question you, those that are going to ridicule you, those that are going to talk about you, those who are going to say all kind of evil things because they've never seen this before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's indefensible. There are things that God will call us to, and when we answer the call, when we answer the call, You have to be ready to stand in that place, even when it's indefensible. For Peter, having been used by God to bring salvation to the Gentiles, Cornelius' house, then had to stand before those who he accounted to, and they grilled him on, "What in the world are you doing with the Gentiles?" And all he could say is what had happened to him. It was indefensible. He really had no defense.
Yeah.
Except to say, while I was talking to him, the Holy Ghost just showed up. He didn't even wait for me to do my closing and give invitation of how many of y'all want to be saved now. How many of y'all want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? He just showed up. He circumvented my message. That's all I can tell you. Then I'm going to leave it there, and you got to get all right with that. You whether you get all right with it or not, it's going to be between you and God. Because I'm saying to us, church, the calls are coming. The calls are coming.
Amen.
The calls are coming.
Yes, Lord.
The calls are coming. Any given day, I get a phone call from somebody asking me to be in a meeting. And every one of these words that I have up here apply. Every word applies. Because when the call comes, you got to know that it's Jesus that's calling. Now, it may be in this person or that person, but you got to know it's Jesus that's calling. But I get the call, and oftentimes it's inconvenient. It's inconceivable. It's incomprehensible. It's indescribable. It's indefensible. Why are you at that meeting? Why do you have to go to that meeting? I just know he called me.
All right.
I just know Jesus called me in the person of. Peter just simply told them, this is what happened. And once they heard all of that, then they said, well, okay. If it happened, if it went down like that,
right.
Ain't nothing we can do with it. At the end of Paul's life, he's writing to Timothy, the very young man that he picked up to travel with him, that we read about in Acts 16. But now it's some years later. And in closing, this is the message that I want to leave with you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline, a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of me, his prisoner. But join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling.
Yes.
Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Everything and anything you need to fulfill the call, once you've answered the call, is already.